Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, here in just a few minutes. We're having some phone issues, so we're trying to sort through those here at the moment. So we'll hopefully get in touch with TD here in just a minute or so.
I think Michelle said that she heard from Joe, who said he feels attacked by our characterization of his basketball playing prowess.
Look, all I said was he's really good.
He is good, but I could totally see himself taking himself way too seriously on the basketball court. Joe comes from an era where, you know, rec specs and short shorts were in vogue. I could imagine Joe showing up with some John Stockton type shorts.
I'm very glad you brought that name up too, because he loves him some John Stockton.
Yeah, John Stockton. I could see it. I mean, John Stockton still rocked the short shorts when they were no longer in fashion. Yeah. That's when shorts started to get baggy.
Yeah, which the short shorts I think should probably just remain a thing of the past. I'm cool with that.
The one thing about basketball jerseys that are so odd these days, like in the NBA, is that they're incredibly tight. You know, in the 90s, yeah, they were very loose. Now they're like basically wearing like a second skin.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone
anyway,
line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I'm curious to see how you view the division a couple of weeks out, not necessarily in terms of how it's going to finish, but how much stronger you think it is this year with Matt Ryan coming in, with Indianapolis, the moves that Jacksonville has made, some of which leave you scratching your head, but they certainly spent a lot of money this offseason. How do you view the AFC South and maybe how much better you expect it to be heading into this year?
Yeah, well, I think Jacksonville did get better. Just getting Urban Meyer out of there, that in itself is an improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Then you bring in Doug Peterson, a guy who's a proven winner, who's a player's coach, and I think the culture there is going to change. And just like any other profession, when you enjoy going to work, you're pretty much going to normally be a more productive person. So I think that's something that they could definitely look forward to there in Jacksonville. So they'll be better. And as you mentioned, some of the moves that they made, Evan Ingram, I think, was a good pickup. You know, they did some good things. They'll have, you know, some guys coming back as well. Travis Etienne, you know, you look at him. So I think they'll be able to do a lot of things there. Houston, I think, is just kind of a situation, I guess you could call it. And I don't know there's going to be improvement there. But the Colts, they obviously upgraded right at quarterback position. It's something that everybody is now saying they're the AFC South champions. And of course, there's still a season to play, but I think they are a better team. And the Titans, you know, are still there in the mix. So overall, the division does look good. They do have an AFC West matchup, so that's going to be interesting, you know, seeing how they go against what I believe is the best division in football.
TD, going on the Jacksonville front, specifically with Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he had so much ability at Clemson. He was the number one overall pick. And he struggled last year, but I do wonder, with Doug Peterson coming in and with just the absolute train wreck that was Urban Meyer down there, like how much this reset for him probably helps more than anything else. Like I think Trevor Lawrence may benefit more than anybody else in the division this year based on the offseason changes?
Yeah, I think you could pretty much safely say that because you look at Houston, like I said, they haven't done anything. Titans, A.J. Brown is gone. You did bring in Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, and the Colts are just kind of like more of the same. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Doug Peterson, I watched firsthand how he got Carson Wentz ready in a really brief amount of time. You know, that Sam Bradford trade happened, and they had to get Wentz ready to be the starter, and they went out, and he had a pretty productive rookie season. So I think that's a really good thing. Doug Peterson is going to be good for him and the weapons they brought in. So, yeah, I agree.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Robbie and Rex Row. Teron, as we prepare for the start of Titans training camp in the next couple of weeks, I know there are certain storylines on a lot of Titans fans' minds, you know, such as Treylon Burks and other players that are going to garner a lot of attention. But what is a storyline that you are anticipating bubbling up during training camp that maybe we're not discussing right now?
I think just the emergence of David Long and Amani Hooker as leaders on that defense. That's something that isn't really getting a lot of attention. And coincidentally, both of these guys were later, you know, day three picks in 2019, and they're going to be up for contracts. And I think when you look at this season, and especially in training camp, you're going to really see those guys emerge as leaders. And that's a story. If you want to look at something just kind of floating under the radar, that's one that really stands out to me.
Teron, have you weighed in on the great Jared Goff versus Ryan Tannehill debate that's been happening on this radio station all week?
Yes, I actually have. And I went the way of Ryan Tannehill. I feel that he is a better quarterback than Goff. But both guys are, at this point right now, you know, they're mid-range guys. There was a point where Tannehill was an upper mid-range quarterback, but that was 19 and 20. We have to see what 22 brings.
Anytime I'm on the same page with TD, it makes me feel a whole lot smarter.
It's a good place to be.
It's a great place to be. TD, so I'm interested for your thoughts on Taylor Lewan. Obviously, he was coming off the ACL last year. He struggled out of the gate and then I thought got better as the season went on. But how important is this year for him in terms of starting quickly and playing well, not only for this team this year, but to prove that he can be the left tackle for the Titans over the next few years as well as he continues to get a little older in his career?
Yeah, you know, at 31, I think he's still, in my opinion, in his prime. He hasn't made a Pro Bowl since 2018, but that's just on a reputation, right? You know how the Pro Bowl voting goes. But to get off to a fast start for Lewan, I think is really important. This is going to be the first time in a while that he's going to have a new guard next to him. So they're going to have to get on the same page. And he spoke during minicamp multiple times about, you know, how important the year is for him. And I think just from the perspective of, like, he knows he still has it, but being able to go out there and prove it to yourself, I think that will really help. And he's still a solid player. I think, you know, you look at some of the things that he struggled with. I mean, obviously the Chandler Jones game, but that was the first after the knee. I think being another year removed from that knee is a good thing for him, and it will allow him to show that he is one of the top tackles in the league. In fact, Jeremy Fowler, his top 10 series today, it was on tackles, and Taylor Lewan was an honorable mention.
Do you expect a bounce-back season for Nate Davis, who, you know, obviously, I mean, I think he was dealing with COVID at one point last year. He had some injuries that he dealt with. I mean, this is, you know, I think especially early, probably didn't play as well as most people expected, but looked a little bit more like Nate Davis as the season went along.
Right, yeah, and he dealt with COVID twice, so yeah, that definitely hurt him as far as a conditioning standpoint. And, you know, going into this year, I felt that he was an all-pro candidate. That's how highly I thought of him. And here it is, yet another guy from 2019. The people always want to poke holes in John Robinson's drafts, but that 2019 one, man, you add Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown to it, too.
It's a heck of a draft.
He had a pretty good haul, yeah, so he did a great job there, but I think Nate Davis, this is going to be a critical year for him because it's another player in a contract year, and I think he does have a bounce back. he's another guy that could emerge as a leader. And he spoke about, you know, working in L.A. and how his body is, how he feels a lot better. You look at him, he looks a lot leaner and a lot like he's more well put together now. So that usually leads into a good situation. So I would say, yes, bounce back.
TD, do you think Kyle Phillips is a lock to make this team? Do you think he's in competition with Mason Kinsey? How do you view that kind of that slot receiver position right now for the Titans heading into camp?
Yeah, I used to say a guy drafted in the first five rounds is more or less a lock to make the team that year he gets drafted. But we saw Des Fitzpatrick's situation last year. I think Phillips is more than likely, I'm not going to say a lock, but very high percentage. Because remember, he also gives you something in the return game. Really good punt returner. So that is something that, you know, Craig Aukerman really raved about, his ability to just, you know, put a foot in the ground and get up the field and get positive yards. There's no dancing and all that stuff. And then obviously what he brings as a slot receiver, that competition, him and Mason Kinsey is going to be a fun one to watch. And I think both of those guys, with Brandon Lewis as well from Air Force, they're going to really impress in one-on-ones and those type of things.
TD, last thing for you here is, as training camp is coming up, obviously, you know, Treylon Burks going to be paid attention to a lot, Malik Willis. What in the preseason, outside of probably those two guys, is going to catch your eye most in terms of the games and what you'll be looking for, whether that's a position battle, a guy's growth from year one to year two, and where does Caleb Farley kind of rank for you on that list?
Yeah, I think the left guard situation is one I'm going to watch pretty closely during preseason, because that's when you could really see what's happening, right? You can really see them in battle. So I'm going to watch that. Aaron Brewer, in my opinion, is a dark horse to win that one. He's not the biggest guy, but I watched that, go back to that 2020, a week 10 game against the Ravens, man. He held his own and he looked really good. So wonder if he could do that consistently, you know, over a full season. I'm going to watch that. But Farley, he ranks pretty high. Now, I'm not sure how much he's going to play. You know, that's an interesting situation, because you want to see a guy who has only three games under his belt. You want to see him out there playing and how he looks. But then at the same time, you have the response from, you know, the recovery from the knee. He had a yellow jersey on in minicamp. So it's, you got to find that balance of getting him game action, but not risking him as well.
Well, TD, we've almost made it. Training camp just a couple of weeks away now, and then football season is back. Looking forward to it. Appreciate you taking time to join us today.
No problem. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What are some preseason storylines that jump out to you? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes to kids, but we can't do it without your help. So please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls from Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Bingen, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. Adam, what do you make of the AFC South this year? You've got, obviously, Matt Ryan coming into Indianapolis. You have Jacksonville going on a spending spree this past offseason, some of which I thought was decent, some of which I kind of left scratching my head at, with Christian Kirk getting $18 million and things of the like. So I do think the division will be better I think the Colts will be good. I think there's nowhere to go but up for the Jacksonville Jaguars with Urban Meyer out of there. I think the Texans are still going to be pretty bad. But I do think overall the division will be better. What do you think of the AFC South? What stands out to you about this division heading into the season?
Yeah, I would agree that the Jaguars are in a place to improve, but even if they double their win total from last season, it's 6 wins.
Right.
So I don't anticipate the Jaguars truly being competitive in the AFC South. I think they'll be a more competitive team in general, but I don't anticipate them actually, you know, challenging the Titans or the Colts, and the Texans are in dire straits. Sorry to your boy Davis Mills. I just don't. I don't see
really going to raise their level out there.
I don't really see much happening for the Texans this year. So it remains a two-team race, really, between the Titans and the Colts. And I know that the Colts improved at quarterback by swapping out Carson Wentz and bringing in Matt Ryan. And you know, despite Carson Wentz's limitations last season, the Colts were on the precipice of qualifying for the postseason if they had not blown it against the Jaguars in week, is that 18 or 17?
17.
Yes, if they had not blown it in week 17.
I guess it is week 18.
Yeah, these 17 games
threw me
is still
through
and still throwing me off. But if they had not blown it in their season finale,
there you go.
All they had to do was win, right? Win, and they were in.
Oh yeah,
and they
it
blew
worked
it
out perfectly for them. Yeah, and they lost.
Yeah, to a wretched team. So despite Carson Wentz's limitations, they were still on the edge of qualifying for the postseason. Now you swap him out for a steady veteran and Matt Ryan, who, you know, may not be the MVP he once was, but is still a more than competent quarterback. And you have, you know, Jonathan Taylor, who, as we talked about earlier this week with the ESPN rankings, was number 2 in the league behind Derrick Henry. And you have, you know, a pretty decent receiving core, right? Michael Pittman Jr. Who am I missing? I mean, I know I'm missing multiple people.
Well, they had their first round pick out of Cincinnati, who for some reason's name is currently escaping me. But you mentioned that not their first round pick, their first pick in the draft. I think he was in the second round. But I still think their receiving core needs work. Honestly, I keep wondering if that's not ultimately where Julio Jones ends up. Now, that
would be
very interesting. It would make sense. The Colts need another receiver, I think. And obviously, he has some pretty good familiarity with Matt Ryan. So
their receiving core is Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce.
Paris Campbell. Yeah,
Paris Campbell. And Mo Alie-Cox, a tight end.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, they could use some work.
And,
you know, I know that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have a long-standing relationship from their time in Atlanta.
They do.
And although Julio, as Titans fans, came to learn the hard way last season, is far from that player, perhaps playing with a quarterback who led him to his best seasons, you know, could revitalize Julio Jones as long as he can stay healthy. I mean, unless Matt Ryan has some sort of magic, I don't know what word I'm looking for here, some sort of cure for tight hamstrings.
Maybe so.
There you go. Spit it out finally.
They do play indoors. Kind of.
Well, that's a retractable roof,
it
right?
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those games are going to be huge this year. Colts, Titans, they're always big. But I think this year is going to be important just because it's a two horse race. But the Titans have a tougher schedule.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, but you know, because they won the division, they do have to face some tougher games than the Colts. So those divisional games become even more important.
Well, the quarterbacks the Titans have to play this year are pretty insane when you think about it. So you've got, obviously, in your division, I don't think there's anybody in your division at quarterback that scares you. Like, Matt Ryan is good. Like, does Matt Ryan scare you if you're the Titans? I would say no. But you do have Joe Burrow once again on your schedule. You've got Josh Allen on your schedule. You have Aaron Rodgers on your schedule. I don't know if I'd put Derek Carr quite in that same category as though, but Mahomes is on your schedule. I mean, Justin Herbert. I mean, there's some Dak Prescott. There are some elite quarterbacks that you're going to have to play this year. So we talk about the defense, and I think the Titans defense is going to be really good, But in today's NFL, you can have a good defensive performance and give up 24 points or give up 27 points. That's just the way things are wired today in the NFL. Is it's to benefit the offense. So the ultimate question for this team and how good it's going to be is, what does the offense look like, and is there anybody that can be a dangerous threat catching the football? Like Robert Woods, I think, is a really good player. I think in an ideal situation, he's a good number two. He's probably going to have to be this team's number one unless Treylon Burks just ascends out of nowhere at this point and figures it out. Can Treylon Burks get himself into a role where he's at least reliable out there? If so, then maybe this offense has a chance. But, you know, as good as we think the defense is going to be, they're still playing against some high-level quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, the Colts games are early in the schedule. They play at Indianapolis in week four and then at home in week seven.
Yeah.
So those matchups come quickly. But yeah, looking at the Titans schedule, you know, the home opener against the Giants should be a gimme game.
But you would think so, but man.
But
I don't do gimme games anymore with the Titans.
I mean, did we think that against Arizona in week one last year?
Probably not, but
they didn't expect Chandler Jones to
almost set the NFL sack record in one week to begin play last year.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, between the Jets loss last year and the Texans debacle at home last year, like, I feel like games like the Giants are the type of games that make Titans fans incredibly nervous. Like,
right.
The vibe I've gotten so far is Titans fans are more nervous about the Giants game than they are the Bills game the next week.
Yeah. So, you know, even just looking at their first five games, because they have a bye week in week six, so they play three of their first five games on the road. They open at home against the Giants, which is not a good team. They're at Buffalo on Monday night, which should be a fabulous game. And the Titans have had, you know, the Bills number in recent years in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken. They come home to play the Raiders, which will be a test for the defense with Devontae Adams on the other side of the ball.
Don't remind
me. I'm sorry. Man. You know, they play the Colts on the road, and then they play at Washington. They'll get their fill of Carson Wentz in week five. So
thank God.
Thank God.
Anytime they can play Carson Wentz, I'm all for it.
Well, say what you will about Carson Wentz. He does have a better number one receiver in Washington than he did in Indianapolis. Terry McLaurin is an excellent receiver. So even right off the bat, they're playing, you would presume Daniel Jones, right? In New York, Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, and Carson Wentz. Those are their first five quarterback matchups. And it runs the gamut. You know, Daniel Jones is a below average starter, and Josh Allen may be the best starter in the league. Then you've got Derek Carr, who I think is, you know, he's above average, I would say.
Oh yeah, he's good.
And then Matt Ryan, I would say, is average, you know, at that line, and then Wentz, who's below average, if you're just going by that pretty rudimentary scale there. So they will have some interesting, I think they get a good taste of it early on. They get a good mix of average quarterback play, above average quarterback play, and in the case of Josh Allen, elite quarterback play.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm looking for the passing game to be improved despite having a worse receiving core. I think Tannehill, like Goff, needs a smart guy designing and calling plays to put him into a position to succeed. Downing and Tannehill couldn't get on the same page last year, so hopefully Tim Kelly exerts enough influence to fix it. There's been a whole lot of Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill talk this week.
Yeah, I mean, are we a Detroit-based radio station?
God bless, Stillman.
Jared is a pro, and that's why he's able to fuel a news cycle locally for an entire week.
It's true.
I feel like the Tim Kelly thing is interesting because I feel like this was the same thing that happened last season with Jim Schwartz, right? He was the defensive, you know, what was his official title?
Senior defensive assistant, I think was his title.
Yeah, so now you've got a passing game coordinator. So we talk about fans overvaluing prospects. Sometimes I think fans overvalue random assistants on your team. Like how much say will Tim Kelly have in the passing game, because that's his job, is to be a passing game coordinator. But how much influence will he be able to assert, I'm not sure which word I'm trying to use there, you know, in terms of, you know, game planning with Todd Downing?
I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. Like, I think the hope is that there are maybe some new concepts that he brings to the table, you know, maybe some plays that they just throw out from last year that didn't work, and there's new ways to attack early downs. Like I thought they got behind the sticks too much last year, and then all of a sudden it's second and nine, and you're trying to run Derrick Henry right up the middle, and then it's third and seven, and it's just you put yourself in a bad situation. So I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. Like honestly, I would expect Tim Kelly, comparatively speaking, I expect Tim Kelly to be more involved in the offense this year than Jim Schwartz probably ever was in the defense last year. That's just me. Now, that may not be the case, but that's kind of the way that I read it. We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, on the Preds, any way you want to take it. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Adam Vingan very fired up about that NASCAR promo we just ran.
You should do your impression of it.
Checkered flag. we've lost Vingan for the rest of the segment.
Did you know that Chase talks to people outside of this building?
Yeah.
Checkered flag.
Have you heard that Rex Road's looked at the national television schedule?
Yes. We've heard
or that Fitz is 5'9" and a half.
We looked at all these things. Beautiful. By the way, our SEC Media Days coverage, which Michelle Knezvik will be a part of next week with Caroline Fenton, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
I just want Michelle to know that peaches actually do grow on trees.
Wow. Thank you.
I love a good peach. Nectarines are better, though.
You get your peaches down in Georgia, good like gracious. Justin Bieber.
And eggs.
And eggs.
That was so bad.
The egg doesn't fall far from the tree?
No, you get your peaches down in Georgia.
Like Justin Bieber. Oh, yeah, that was so bad.
Good gracious.
Oh, come on. I'm sure you love Justin Bieber.
I do.
You're right in his wheelhouse.
Good gracious.
In terms of a believer. Yeah, there you go.
Scott in Hendersonville on the text line says, what's the breakdown on Josh Malone? Is he a burner? We don't have anyone to stretch the field, right? Burks is more of a possession guy, not a burner. Do you think J-Rob is just waiting for the right price on a free agent, or do they feel good about the group that they have?
Better question for you than me.
Well, it's interesting because, like, Josh Malone, I don't know if I would describe him as a burner. Now, he did run, I think he ran a 4.4 40 at the combine. So he's got good speed. I don't know that I would classify him as a burner, though. But to Scott's point, that is, I think, a huge concern with this Titans defense. And look, it's not like A.J. Brown was Tyreek Hill out there or anything, but A.J. Brown could get open, and he had good speed, and he could get down the field and out-muscle people. Like, I do wonder, as you look at this Titans team right now, who is the guy in the receiving corps that just scares you if you're a defense? And I'm not sure that guy exists. Like, I said it, Robert Woods is a good player. And I think Robert Woods is going to play really well for the Titans. But is Robert Woods somebody where if you're a defensive coordinator or you're, you know, a cornerback on the other team, are you saying, oh, man, it's Robert Woods out there. What are we going to do to stop him? Like, I don't think so. Treylon Burks, to Scott's point on the text line, is a different player. Like, he's not necessarily a burner. Now, I will say this. If you factor in his play speed and some of the mile per hour that he was clocked at last year, I do think he had like one of the fastest times in college football on one of his catches and run after the catches last year at Arkansas. So he's got some speed to him. It's an interesting spot that he's in. So that to me is a concern for the Titans. Do you have that guy that instills a little bit of fear in the back half of the defense where they have to think twice about just creeping up and playing any close to the line of scrimmage? I'm not sure that they do. And if they don't have that guy, how does that impact your explosiveness and what you're able to do offensively?
This may be unrelated, but based on our conversation in the last segment, we were talking about the passing game, and Warren Sharp, who's a an analytical football mind, tweeted something out the other day that Glennon shared about second down run rate after an incompletion in the first half of games.
Oh yeah,
and the Titans were third in the league 65% touch second down run rate after an incompletion, which speaks to the, you know, which speaks to some of the passing game issues, especially if you're forced to throw on third down, if you're not picking up enough yardage on that second down.
Well, and a lot of that too was, I think there was some predictability last year in terms of, well, that pass is incomplete. It's second and 10. Here comes Derrick Henry. Like there was a lot of that in the first half of the year, and I'd like to see them get a little bit more creative on that front this time around. Jack from Nashville on the text line says, I don't think Jim Schwartz had as big of an impact on the defense last year as some fans think. I think adding Autry and Dupree is what made the difference. I'm with you, Robbie. Hopefully Kelly adds a new wrinkle in the offensive scheme, but at the end of the day, Downing wears the headset. It is interesting because it's a pretty big year for Todd Downing. He is not in a great spot right now with the fan base. That's the other part of this, though, because, you know, Joe and I have talked about this. Let's say the Titans offense comes out this year and it exceeds expectations and they play really well. Well, I think Todd Downing will get some of the credit, but a lot of people are going to be like, see, you bring in Tim Kelly, that passing game coordinator, now all of a sudden the offense takes off. He's the one that gets the credit for it. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens there, but this is a big year for Todd Downing. I mean, the last thing we saw of Todd Downing, albeit with Tannehill not playing well against Cincinnati and throwing the ball to the other team three times, not some great routes out there, not some great designs, I think, from Todd Downing either. So, big year for Todd Downing.
Yeah, and I think, wasn't there a list that came out recently where Mike Vrabel was listed like as the seventh or eighth coach most likely to resign or leave or get fired or something?
Yeah, I
like
saw that.
That
and I was like, well, let's pump the brakes
for the reigning coach of the year.
Yeah, let's calm down. You know, who just got a contract extension?
But I think if the Titans offense falters this year, you know, I think Todd Downing is the scapegoat.
Yeah,
so
I think it's probably the case, along with the quarterback, of course.
Yes,
at Ryan Tannehill as well. Adam, the Preds making a move yesterday. Kevin Lankinen signed a one-year, $1.5 million contract to be the backup goaltender for the Nashville Predators. So it's interesting. You give him $1.5 million. He was awful last year for the Blackhawks, albeit on a defensively terrible team. But the numbers, not good at all for Kevin Lankinen last year. You have Connor Ingram in the fold. You have Askarov down in Milwaukee. You have Devin Cooley, who they just qualified the other day as a goaltender down in Milwaukee as well. So it has now created a logjam at the goaltending position, and Kevin Lankinen now part of that as well. So an interesting move yesterday by the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I think the one position that I thought they did need to address was goaltender, but that's what they did. And it's the only NHL player, you know, that they've signed so far, and it's a one-way contract. And, you know, to be clear, between one-way and two-way contracts, that doesn't mean someone is either exempt or eligible for waivers. It just means that if Kevin Lankinen is sent to the minors, he'll make his NHL salary,
yeah,
which is $1.5 million. And because of that, if he is sent to the minors, the Predators will carry a buried cap hit of $375,000. So even if you put him in the minors, you're still, you know, spending money against the cap on Lankinen. And, you know, it made sense last season for the Predators to sign a veteran goaltender with starting experience in the NHL because Pekka retired. Connor Ingram basically did not play during that season because of his, you know, as well documented, you know, personal issues, for lack of a better term. And it made sense to bring in someone like David Rittich because of those reasons.
Right.
This season, I felt like would be the time for Connor Ingram to get a look and see what you have there. But it, you know, teams rarely carry three goaltenders at the NHL level, and if you're set on it, would have made more sense if someone like Devin Cooley, who's a, you know, one of their minor league goaltenders, wasn't re-signed.
Sure.
So, but yeah, now you have five goaltenders, you know, between UC Saros, Connor Ingram, Kevin Lankinen, Devin Cooley, and Yaroslav Askarov. It just didn't make sense to me. Like, if something happens where one of those goaltenders is moved, then I guess it can make sense, and perhaps it's a precursor to something else. I don't know. But on the surface, just looking at Kevin Lankinen's body of work, I don't see how he helps this team. I wouldn't feel comfortable having him in the net that many times per season. And you have to keep in mind that he played for a really bad team, but even then he wasn't helping them.
Sure. So I mean, you laid out the numbers well earlier. Yes, not a great year.
Yeah,
goals, for Kevin Lankinen last year.
In all situations, his goals saved above expected, which is a fancy stat to determine, you know, how well a goaltender plays in terms of the shot quality that he faces. In all situations of 61 goaltenders, according to MoneyPuck, who played at least 20 games, he was number 60 out of 61. The only goaltender who was worse was, surprisingly, Philip Grubauer, who went from Colorado to Seattle and had a really bad season, which was uncharacteristic of Philip Grubauer. Lankinen, you know, I think it was like 28 goals saved below expected, which means that he allowed 28 more goals than he should have based on the shot quality that he faced.
Not good.
UC Saros, by comparison, I think was about 20 above expected. Yeah. So from UC Saros to Kevin Lankinen, it is a gap of almost 50 expected goals. Lankinen was worse last season than David Rittich. And David Rittich was not good.
No.
So take it for what you will.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Y'all went into basically what I was wanting to ask y'all about. So a lot of people, including y'all, are saying that it would potentially be more Fabro than Carrier, that the Preds would probably move since they brought in McDonough. With this Lankinen acquisition, could you see a scenario where they move Fabro and either Ingram or Devin Cooley for a, you know, not a top six forward, because that's definitely not enough. But for some, I was just wanting to see what they could fetch if they had, you know, moved Fabro and either Cooley or Ingram.
Hey, thanks for the call, Nate. I mean, I do think, you know, looking at the goalie situation right now, it does makes sense. Like if you wanted to package, let's just say Ingram, as part of a bigger package, maybe Fabro's included in it, to go try to get another top six forward, you could try to do that. I mean, I'd be interested to know exactly who that would be. Like, is a package of Dante Fabro, Connor Ingram, and a few picks going to be enough to land you JT Miller? Maybe. Is that something you want to do for a guy on a one-year contract?
I mean, it seems too rich.
Yeah.
If you're going to have JT Miller on your team for more than a year, but
then
like I said, JT Miller, I feel like is going to command a salary that close to $8 million, if not more, on his next deal. And I would have to look it up on Cap Friendly and see how many teams in the league have four forwards who make at least $8 million. I don't think any do. As I said, Toronto has three forwards who make $10 million.
Right.
But that's Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and John Tavares. That's not Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matthew Shane, and potentially JT Miller. With all due respect to those four players, none of them are the players in Toronto.
Yeah.
So
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be the Preds. It could be NHL free agency, the Titans. Everything on the table. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions as always on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I just want to point out, Both Michelle Knezevic and I predicted last week Philip Forsberg would sign on July the 12th. It did happen before July 12th. I did throw out an 8-year, $8.5 billion annual average value. And what was the contract, Adam Vingan?
Just that.
Just that. That is correct. So we'll just throw that out there and leave it there. For time's sake, Michelle Knezevic, would you like to kick us off today here on Call Your Shot Friday?
Yes, I would love to. Okay, my first called shot, which I have visited before, but we're going to revisit this one just to make sure that nobody forgot.
We're going Cincinnati Reds?
You're correct, Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
The Cincinnati Reds will not win more games than the Tennessee Vols did in baseball this year. The number is 57. I was just counting on my laptop. They're at 34 on July 15th today.
They've beaten the Yankees twice.
They have beaten the Yankees. Now that is a sight to be seen.
Impressive.
Okay, so now that I got the Cincinnati Reds one out of the way, we're going to hit a little NBA free agency action.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell to our beloved Miami Heat, Robbie Stanley.
I'd take it right now.
Which I would absolutely love that. So Donovan Mitchell is going to go to Miami. Kyrie Irving to the Lakers.
Okay.
And Kevin Durant to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, the Bucks.
Okay, so throwing out a little
Durant and Giannis together.
That would be incredible.
Well, I think the Suns were a popular destination for Kevin Durant, but with DeAndre Ayton signing that offer sheet with the Pacers, which has been matched by the Suns, now Ayton can't be traded.
Yeah.
For at least a year, I think. Well, he can't be traded until January, and he can't be traded for a full year without his consent.
Yeah.
I think that's right. So that probably takes Phoenix out of the Kevin Durant sweepstakes because Ayton was figured to be a prominent part of that potential trade.
Chris Paul.
Is it my turn?
Wait, I have two more. And then it's
two more.
Come on, Vingan. Okay, Tiger will make the cut. We talked about that earlier today. He's got a lot of leg work, but he will make the cut. And then
you'll find an egg tree.
And then lastly, I don't know if this. I feel like this is a shot. The Predators will make some big trade for a top six forward by next Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And now it's your turn, Vingan.
Vingan, you're up.
All right. I only have two.
All right. That's fine.
Because the sports schedule's a little slow right now. On Monday, we have the Home Run Derby.
We do.
And as someone who is not a huge baseball fan, this is one of the few baseball events I will tune in to watch. You have a star-studded 8-player bracket. The number 8 seed in the Home Run Derby, one Albert Pujols.
Correct.
Will win the Home Run Derby.
I like that.
That is winning the Home Run Derby. It's a star-studded group, including Pete Alonso, who I believe is the two-time defending Home Run Derby champion.
That's correct.
Kyle Schwarber, Juan Soto, Corey Seager, Ronald Acuna. You've got a good field, but I'm going to go with the old man. The old man still got it. I'm going to say that Albert Pujols wins the Home Run Derby.
I like that.
On Monday.
That's a good one.
And I will stick with the NHL. Nazem Kadri, who's probably the hottest free agent left on the market, will sign with the Calgary Flames.
Ooh, the Flames.
To make up for the loss of Johnny Gaudreau.
I like that.
I'll say Kadri to the Flames.
Going to Calgary. All right, quickly. The SEC media next week will pick the Tennessee Volunteers to finish in second place in the SEC East behind Georgia. Second place in the SEC East behind Georgia. And as we know, those media predictions are right every year.
It's Kentucky, baby.
They're right every year. This is total sarcasm, by the way. They're usually pretty much always wrong. But Tennessee will be picked by the SEC media to finish in second place in the SEC East next week down in Atlanta, Georgia for the SEC Media Days. Michelle, your response?
Nope. That's my response.
It's just nope. The Preds will make a trade for JT Miller.
Some point
in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
JT Miller will be a member of the Nashville Predators. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but it's Call Your Shot Friday. That's my call shot. JT Miller will be a member of the Nashville Predators.
I think Predators fans would be happy
about
that.
I think they would probably be very happy about that. Nazem Kadri will sign in Carolina.
They don't have any room for that.
Nobody's got any room for it. You can trade.
Yes.
They got $4 million in cap space. They'll trade somebody out.
Is there anybody worthwhile on that team to trade right now?
I don't know. I'm just going there. It feels like a go for it year for Carolina.
Yeah, it could
be. They're going to work it out with Kadri. He signs in Carolina.
All right.
You don't seem very confident in that.
I think they've made their big moves. I think that the Flames are going to be desperate after what happened.
But why would he go there? Just for the money?
Because I think they'll give him more of what
they will give him more.
Give him more of what he wants. They have the space.
They going 7 years for Kadri in Calgary?
I hope not.
Good Lord.
But why you know, if they want to remain competitive, they're going to have to do something like that.
Yep. No question about it. This has been Call Your Shot Friday, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Drake Hills from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on all things Nashville SC. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025, 1063, The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.